Morning, Chairman. Stephen Mayne, a small shareholder. Can you tell us the percentage breakdowns between the three consortium partners, China Chem in the majority position?
Yes, they will be in the majority position.
And what's the specifics?
My understanding is it's probably likely to be 60% and 40% split between the other two players.
And that's 2020, the two private equity? Right. And will any of the board be continuing apart from any of the non-executive directors? So, Kerry, you've obviously been a key part of the success of Nufarm. Are you going to have a role going forward?
The structure that the consortium intends to manage the business in a board capacity has not been discussed, but the board have all resolved that they would resign in terms of the ongoing situation. So, no, that's the answer to the question.
And is there a separate negotiation going on with Doug and the management team to give them an equitable interest in the venture going forward, as is common in most private equity takeovers?
No, there has been no discussion, other than for the fact that the consortium recognises the strength of management in this organisation and will probably wish to put something in place to ensure that they are adequately incentivised and rewarded. But there has been no discussion with Doug in terms of any equity participation in the ongoing situation.
Because I'm presuming that Doug probably wouldn't be able to vote his stock if he would have an interest in the ongoing venture when it comes to the vote.
Well, it's not a question that's arisen anyway, because he won't have any shareholding.
No, but I mean, I guess the point I'm getting at is that the last two private equity takeovers with a substantial founding shareholder involved, Flight Centre and APM, have both been voted down. And the situation has partly been people sort of saying, well, you know, management is continuing to have a role, maybe there's an upside, etc., etc. So I'm just interested in if we're going down a similar path here where Doug will cash out his $500 million worth of shares, thereabouts, we're all obviously delighted. But is he then going to have a new substantial equity play put in place with the new owners, which would knock him out from being able to vote on the deal and therefore potentially make the deal a little bit more vulnerable to institutions, as we saw with Flight Centre and APM?
So the answer is no.
So Doug will be able to vote his stock?
He will vote his stock.
Right, okay. Just a couple more on this issue. What's the situation with the change of government in Australia and FIRB? We've seen Lindsay Tanner make some comments in the press about being very aware of the sovereign funds issue. Now, obviously, it's a pretty unconventional situation to have Chinese government company buying control of one of our great agribusinesses. And obviously, the chemical sector, more generally, is one of the more sensitive sectors in the economy. Are we receiving any sort of feedback from the new government about how they will look at this?
We have had no feedback or any contact with the Australian government.
Because we're seeing all this sort of comment about Rio Tinto and, you know, Don Argus saying sovereign funds would have watched them and this sort of stuff. So I'm just suggesting there may be a regulatory risk that this deal could potentially be blocked by a new Labor government, which might not have as liberal a view on foreign investment. So we're not aware of any...
We are not aware of anything, no. And we, as a company, will not have to make any regulatory approval in this transaction. Clearly, the consortium would. And if there are concerns, I guess that's when they would be raised by the regulatory authorities.
Okay, just two more. What proportion of... Can you tell us a bit about the Chinese company, which is buying us? What proportion of their assets will come under our management? So how big a conglomerate is it? I presume the agrochemical business is just a smallish division of China's biggest chemical company. So what proportion of their operation will come under the management control of the Nufarm team out of Melbourne here?
The best understanding we have is that their agricultural chemicals business is entirely domestic. It's entirely related to the Chinese economy. I understand it's in the order of about $500 million US dollars?
To revenue.
To revenue, yes. And that would be backed into the new farm operation, which will continue to be managed from Australia with the existing new farm management team, and would be sold in the Chinese market under the new farm brand. And this deal is predicated to some extent on that basis.
And how does PetroChina work in terms of obviously, is it 100% Chinese government control? And do they have any other arrangements like this where they've got a private equity partner which has come in, and have they ever surrendered control of a division like apparently is going to happen here? I mean, it sounds pretty unconventional for a Chinese sort of diversified government-owned giant.
Yeah, this is not PetroChina. This is the Chinese chemical company, ChemChina.
Yeah.
And this section of their operation, as I understand it, is the only aspect of it.
So really, new territory for the bigger chemical parent, if I'm saying. They haven't got this any arrangement before.
We put this information in the public domain, so it's there to read and also have a look.
Right, my last question is, I think a few of us came today thinking, well, it's been 30 days since the deal was announced, it's only 3 business days to go until December 10th. We'll get some sort of clear picture, and then we haven't. So clearly, I think the perception would be that the risk of the transaction not going forward has risen a bit today, based on the fact that you haven't been able to come forward to give us anything concrete. Of those risks, I mean, there's a lot in the press about subprime and Citibank and capital markets. Is that the big issue? It's just a question of actually raising the finance?
None of that has been raised with us at this stage. The due diligence process has been very detailed and very thorough, and it's not yet concluded. It was a fairly tight time frame to conduct the due diligence, and the date that was set was the 10th. Although there's been considerable discussion with them, they've all related to the operation of the company, its assets, and the normal things that you would expect in due diligence. And we, quite frankly, didn't expect to get any indication from them until very close to the 10th, because of the tight time frame to conclude the amount of due diligence which they have gone through.
You
so
open
we're not
to
in
extend
position to do that, to say anything further though at this moment.
Can you extend, are you open to extending if there's some issues they want to further explore?
The question hasn't been raised, and if it were, it would be a matter that would be decided by the board at that time.
But that's not in play. Okay, thanks for answering those questions.
Thank you.
Last year you had 3 people on, except outside of the managing director, 3 people on more than $1 million, and this year they've all come back under $1 million.
Yes.
So, you certainly have given everyone a haircut. Well, I think there'd be an argument that it's pretty hard to control the climate, which has been the biggest factor which has hit our profit. So I think I agree. Congratulations on sticking with what you've said. Just one issue on your contract, Doug. I know it's an unlimited contract. Will you be deemed to have been terminated as part of the takeover? So will the takeover, I know you're going to do a new deal with the new owners, but you get 24-month payout on termination. Is that going to be a triggering event for that? Will Doug be getting terminated with an extra $4 or $5 million?
I think it's perhaps more appropriate that I answer that question, because the policy in terms of accepting the contracts within the organisation and indeed its remuneration policy, this is recommended by the Remuneration Committee and approved by the Board. And the answer to your question is Doug is retained in a management capacity in the new organisation, there will be no termination payment.
Just a couple of issues. So, Chairman, you didn't give us the proxies on the remuneration report. Could you be able to inform me of those?
Mr. Secretary, can you advise what those proxies are?
The proxies that we have at present are $75,500,000 in favour, $1.1 million against, with 29 open and usable, $29 million open and usable for the chairman of the meeting.
So, obviously, the institutions are happy with the remuneration report. Just a couple of comments on the 2 directors who are up for re-election. I think Gary is a director of Qantas. I think we've all had a very unacceptable experience with Qantas, where they recommended a takeover that in early May was based on a profit forecast of $942 million, and then 7 weeks later, when the financial year finished, we discovered the profit was actually $1.079 billion. And so Gary and his board, 10 months into a financial year, were urging shareholders to accept the takeover based on a profit forecast which is 130 million light on what actually happened. I'm amazed there hasn't been a class action from shareholders such as myself who sold into the market before that actually happened based on this dreadful advice from the board. So I certainly hope that Gary's learnt from that experience as we go through this negotiation regarding a takeover. And on the question of Donald, I think that the comments we've had at this meeting about the remuneration report and about the pay cuts for the board should be taken on board, that Donald was particularly belligerent at Telstra when his remuneration report was voted down, 2/3 voted down, and it was almost like, oh, well, it's non-binding. So I'll be interested to see the proxies on Donald today as to whether any of those institutions that were upset about his behaviour at Telstra have cast a protest against him today. And Donald, congratulations on the way you've conducted the remuneration report here and the way that the pay issues have been contained in a far more acceptable way than you've seen at your other place.
Well, I think those were more comments. They're not specific questions that you want to relate to either Mr. Hounsell or Mr. McGeehy, are they?
I'm happy
for
them to stand as comments.
Really?
They're welcome to respond.
Well, I thought they were comments rather than questions, and as a result, at least they specifically wish to speak, I propose to move on. Thank you.
Brevet proxies,
please. In Mr. McGeehy's case? They were less than 40,000 against and 90 million that could be voted in favour. So none of the institutions have exercised the vote against either director.
Thank you.